Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a new week at Basic Gospel Union Week yesterday. As a matter of fact, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? You got a question? Give us a call right now. Let's talk about it at 844-322-2742. That's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
And what we're talking about is eternal security. That's what we've been talking about all month, and boy, it is a hot topic.
It is.
It's a subject that's been debated for 2,000 years of church history. There are folks say that you are eternally secure. There are folks that say that you can walk away from your salvation, that you can lose your salvation, that God can just take away your salvation. So you've got two stories. Two different positions on this question: are we eternally secure? And I think the Word of God comes squarely down on the fact that we are eternally secure. And I think everybody has to come to that when they really understand what the gospel is. The gospel is receiving Jesus. He's God's gift to you and me. So when we believe, God gives us Christ himself. God so loved that he sent Jesus into the world. When we believe that gospel message, God so loves that he sends Jesus into our hearts. He takes up residence inside of us. So the only way that we can lose our salvation is if Jesus lost his life. Well, he's not going to lose his life. His life is indestructible, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I mean, just think just a little bit about the logic of this. If I can lose my salvation, it's because Jesus ceases to exist. If Jesus ceases to exist, everything ceases to exist. So to lose your salvation, if one of us could lose our salvation, that would mean Jesus didn't have an indestructible life, and the entire universe would cease to exist.
Yes,
period.
Indeed. So our salvation is tied to Jesus Christ
Absolutely.
Himself. As Paul said, he is our life. Christ who is our life. We live because he lives. It's as simple as that. Now, fear is one of those emotions, one of those drivers that gets in the way of us really resting in this eternal salvation that we have. And John really addresses that in his first letter. He says, by this is love, and this is verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. So here's this union, here's this connection. So just as Christ is, so are we in this world. So we're brothers. We're joined together. We have a shared life. You know, we died, and yet we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And this life that we live by faith in Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So as he is, so are we also in this world. Now, that's just mind-boggling. But yeah. If you really grab hold of that, then you're going to see your confidence start to soar. And you're going to see this assurance just flood every area of your life. Now, he goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, this circles us back to the very beginning of the month when we talked about the fact that before Jesus could give us life, he had to take away the cause of death. And the cause of death was sin. So Jesus took upon himself our sins. So when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, this is what he means, that Christ took our sins upon himself, and he died in our place. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they died. So what was the consequence of their sin? Death. When Jesus took upon himself our sins, what happened to Jesus?
He died.
He died. And so that means that when we sin today, that sin's already been punished. That sin has already been dealt with by Jesus Christ himself. So what does that mean? It means the eternal life that we have in Jesus is truly eternal. That is, it's ours forever. It's indestructible. It can never be taken away. So perfect love, as we understand this great love that God the Father has for us, it punches that fear right in the face. It sends it to the curb. It diminishes it inside of us. And in its place, this assurance starts to bubble up and to fill every area of our thinking as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. And so that's what we have to realize. That's what we have to rest in. That's where we stand. So we are eternally secure as we abide in this love of God, live in it, and really see this love perfected in us, then this assurance is going to really grow inside of us, and we will have confidence in this world knowing that just as He is, so are we.
That is good news, and it's a subject we've been discussing this entire month, this thing of eternal security, and we have a wonderful three-message series on, as a matter of fact, it's entitled Eternal Security. And Richard, it's an important subject, this thing of eternal security, and this offer that we have for our donors ends this Thursday. What will our listeners get out of this series?
You'll get three things out of the myriad things you could get regarding eternal security. One, a clear statement of the problem and who solved it. Two, why He could solve it, why Jesus could solve it, mm-hmm. and give us His life. And then three, how the Holy Spirit seals us and makes our lives possible now. I mean, we take all of the focus off of ourselves and put it where it belongs, on Jesus Himself. He dealt with sin once for all. He has an indestructible life, and that life comes to live in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get any better than that.
It certainly
doesn't.
That's
the core.
That's the core for the series called Eternal Security. And remember, friends, this offer ends this Thursday. To get your copy of Eternal Security, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, go to basicgospel.net/Canada. When you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security, but do so by this Thursday because that's when this offer ends.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines, guys, and talk with John listening to us on WMUZ in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and I like your show very much, and I appreciate you taking my call. So my question is this. What does surrendering to Christ actually look like? What does it mean? You know what I mean? I could say the word, like, I give my life to you, but what does that actually look like? How does that play out?
Well, John, how that plays out is really through the word faith. And faith is a trust, a reliance, a dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, that's what God is looking for as far as you and I are concerned, just a heart that trusts Him. And that's what repentance is all about, John. It's, you know, before we come to Christ, before we believe this good news of Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, we had a reliance or a dependence upon the things of this world for our meaning and purpose to life. And through repentance, that reliance upon the things of this world is broken. And now we fix our hope, we fix our eyes, we fix our trust, our reliance, our dependence upon Jesus Christ. And in that, there's a new birth that takes place. There's a regeneration that takes place. There's something that happens deep inside of us. And our hearts are changed. Our hearts are changed from unbelieving hearts to believing hearts so that we can actually live in trust and dependence upon Jesus Christ as our very life, as our meaning and purpose to life, as our joy and peace. So surrender is really... you know, a word you're not really going to find that in the Bible, but what you're going to find is this faith and reliance and trust upon Jesus Christ. So, John, let me ask you, have you ever truly believed this gospel message? Have you truly come to the point and said, Lord, I recognize you as the way, the truth, and the life, and today I believe that you took away my sins. I believe that you've been raised from the dead, and today I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So here's what that means, John. You've been made alive together with Christ. Christ lives in you, and your sins are forgiven. In Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And now it's just simply a matter of learning how to walk by faith, learning how to trust Him for what He did for you 2,000 years ago, and to trust Him for what He's going to do in and through you through His resurrected life. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I guess I'm struggling with that a little bit. I mean, I do believe that, you know, I believe in Christ. I believe that it's whom God sent, and I believe that I accept Him as my Savior, and I accept Him as, you know, I know that my sins are forgiven. It's moving forward, you know.
Okay.
The question is, why do I still continue to do certain things? Why do I do, you know, make poor choices in certain areas? You know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, how is the Holy Spirit really still in me if, you know, I'm still making poor decisions?
Well, that's a great question,
that's
John.
That's the core question.
Yeah, that is it.
I didn't need to go too deep.
Yeah. Well, John, you're just telling, you know, my story. When I first came to Christ, I received Christ at a youth camp. I was 13 years of age, and I was all excited about that moment and knew I needed Jesus and knew that He had died for my sins. And from that point forward, I said, Lord, I'm going to be your guy. And so I went about it, John, trying to live the Christian life through human effort. So it was on my shoulders to be the guy that I thought God wanted me to be. And, you know, I would try and I would fall flat on my face and I would double down on my promises and my prayers and all of those sort of things. And then the next day I'd do the same thing. You know, here I am, Lord, did the same thing again. And, you know, after 8 years of that, I just gave up. And I had to come to grips with the fact that I was going about the Christian life in the wrong way. It's not that my desires or that I wanted to be God's guy. All of that was good. And those were right things. But achieving them, I went about it the wrong way. So I relied on human effort. As Proverbs 3:5-6 said, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Well, I was leaning on my own understanding. And it took 8 years for me to finally throw up my hands and say, Lord, I give up. And it was at that moment when the answer came, when I discovered that the Christian life, or experiencing the full benefits of the gospel, was simply by grace. Just as I was saved by grace through faith, that this Christian life is lived in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, many times we reduce that to, okay, I've got to live by the rules, I've got to live by the regulations, I've got to live by the principles that are in the Bible, but those are all just religious speak for human effort. And we have to come to grips with, I'm going to allow grace, I'm going to allow Jesus to initiate, and I'm going to respond. And that's the way of the Christian life. And so it takes a while to start to really learn that in practical everyday living. But as you do, it's like, wow. This is simple. This is restful. This is much easier than I ever dreamed possible.
And things really change.
Yeah, absolutely. Things really change. So, John, what I'd like to do, if you're open to this, I tell kind of my story in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I would love to send that to you. And then I would also like to send our resource of the month, Eternal Security. if you're okay with that, okay?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, let me put you on hold. We're going to send that to you. Once you read through that book, would you call us back? I would love to hear back from you and continue this conversation, okay?
Sure, I will do that.
Okay. John, thank you. Thanks so much for your call today. Let me put you on hold.
Thank you.
We'll get your information and send all those resources to you. Thanks for calling, John. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. Well, Reuben from Salado, Texas is on the line, as is Gary in Pontiac, Michigan. We're going to talk to both of you guys, so just hold on to the phone. But, friends, if what you hear every day on this program is making a difference for you, well, that's why we ask you to support it. I talk about it every day, but, Bob, sometimes I like to get your feelings about why it's important for Basic Gospel to be supported.
Well, there's a lot of confusion out there in the world.
Just like this call.
Yeah, and this is an increasingly complicated place that we live in. And, boy, we need a simple, clear, direct message, one that speaks to our hearts, you know, the good news of Jesus Christ, just pure and simple. Yeah. And when we get that cloud of confusion parts and we're left with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And with that clarity comes confidence. With that clarity comes courage. With that clarity comes a joy in just knowing Jesus and resting in his finished work. And there are people out there that would just give anything to know the simplicity of the good news of the gospel. So join with us and help delivering that pure and simple message to get it out there so that people can truly respond and recognize the truth that God loves them, that their sins have been dealt with by Jesus Christ, and that there's new life available through faith in him.
Yes, it is the good news. And friends, we encourage you to join with us. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you know where to go, basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of our series, Eternal Security.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Salado, Texas and talk with Reuben. Hi, Reuben.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
Hey. Well, a long-time listener and a first-time caller.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed, Reuben. Always love to hear from first-time callers.
Long-time.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Go ahead, Reuben.
Like I said.
I got a question. It happened in our church. It's just an issue being raised up is pertaining to the communion table. Is there a particular place it needs to be? The question was raised that it was supposed to be or should be at the same level as the congregation. And or does it have to be at the same level, or can it be elevated, like, say, up on stage? And I guess my other question pertaining to that would be, can the pastor be between the table and the congregation? Somehow some people feel like there's a barrier between that. Is that, I don't know what the scripture actually says about that. And then the second, if a person's been divorced, a man, and remarried, can you serve as an elder in a church? And if you don't mind, I'll just take this.
Okay. Well, Reuben, thanks so much for calling Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate those questions. As far as the communion table within a sanctuary or an auditorium, there are really no directives about that in the Word of God.
No.
So that's left up to a congregation. But what's I think something that we really need to address as far as communion is concerned, participating in the Lord's Supper, it really is a commemoration of the death and the life of Jesus Christ. We're to do this in remembrance of him. And it's a celebration of this new covenant that we live in today. So oftentimes we really make it a religious exercise. We really focus on our sins and just, you know, all of that instead of focusing on Jesus. And this is an opportunity for the body of Christ to focus on Jesus and why they have been joined together as a body of believers. So the body is the fact that Jesus is sharing his body with us. When he was here, it was in singular form. But when he died on the cross, it was broken. And now when we believe in him, we become members, partakers of the body of Christ. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And we see other places in the Word of God that talks about the body of Christ. So we're all connected. We belong to Christ. We belong to one another. And then he took the cup and he raised it and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. And it's this new covenant that binds us together. We're new covenant believers. And in this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. That's the good news. And it should be a time, no matter how you lay it out in your church, no matter how you decide to do it, it should be a time that we're celebrating what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And as we leave that, it should just fill our hearts with this overwhelming sense of gratitude to Jesus and just this amazing feeling of belonging, of being connected not only to Christ, but to one another in this body. So it truly is just a marvelous, marvelous celebration. And it's a visual picture of this great gospel that we've all believed, that we've all confessed to, that we've all taken a stand upon. And so we really need to think of it in those terms. Now, Reuben, as far as your second question, who can serve as elders if somebody was divorced and then later gets remarried? And man, I think that gets down to, you know, the church body. You know, you don't just pick an elder because they have a lot of money or they're, you know, have a big personality or they great leaders. You pick an elder because they've been involved in ministry. Mm-hmm. They really know what this gospel message is all about. And so I think that's left up to each individual body on how they handle it. So elders need to be vetted, in other words, to really see that they have this gospel message really deep within their hearts. Well, Reuben, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that. Let's go to Pontiac, Michigan, and talk to Gary, listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Thanks for your program where we can ask questions, and I appreciate all your answers. Number one, I'm 70 years old, and I was raised with the King James Version. And since then, I found out after 1950, there came a lot of translations. So I believe people should be careful about what they read, and I believe that the New Testament was written to the church. But what I'm saying is this about, and if you check on the NIV and American Standard, another translation came after 1950, and comparing the King James and the New King James, you'll find there's major mistakes. And I'd like the world to know this because...
Well, Gary, let me just jump in just for time. We're about to go off the air. And what I'll say to that is, you know, the Word of God was written in Hebrew, some in Aramaic and Greek. Those were the languages, and so anything that we have in English is a translation. And we really have to rely on our great teacher, the Spirit of God, to take these words and take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. And that's where we're really going to gain revelation, learning, understanding, and the ability to really live by faith in Jesus Christ. So, Gary, thank you for your love of the Word of God. We sure appreciate that, and thank you for your call to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you've ever asked the question, how is the Christian life really supposed to work, then Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is for you. How do we enjoy a deep personal connection with God the same way that we got started? And that, of course, is by God's grace. If you would like to get a copy, we want you to do that. Go to basicgospel.net, click the link at the top of the page, and we'll get one on the way to you. Well, that's it for today, everybody, and thanks to those who called in. It's always good to hear from our listeners. Until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back right here tomorrow, same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.